This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of the Naz and Wally Sports Hour, heard Sunday mornings at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
From hockey to wrestling, football to golf, no sport left unturned. You're listening to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Good morning, Naz. Good morning, Wally. The boys are back. Let's talk sports.
Good morning and welcome to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. I'm your host, Walter Rigabon. Joining me as usual, my co-host, Naz Marchese. Good morning, Naz. How are you?
I'm good, Wally. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks so much. Also joining us this morning, former Washington Capital, Toronto Maple Leaf, Leapin' Lou Franceschetti. Good morning, Lou. How are you this morning?
Morning, Wally. Morning, Naz.
Good morning, Lou. Good morning to all. Gentlemen, lots going on in sports again. Last night, Saturday nights are getting difficult on the eyes, jumping around, and on the trigger finger on the remote. Leafs, Raptors, my beloved Fighting Irish, Penn State, Ohio State, and of course the World Series all going on at the same time. So, jumping back and forth between channels, Naz. I don't know which particular game attracted your interest last night, Naz?
It was the Leafs, obviously.
Obviously the Leafs. Presumably
what's been going on this week?
Big week for the Leafs, Naz. Last Sunday, we were already writing the Leafs, or some of us, or Joe Bowen on last Sunday, who tried to calm us down and tried to calm the fans down and say, let's take it easy, guys. It's a long season. Into the season last week, we were only six games in, and Leafs off to a really, really difficult start. Bit of a better week, a recovery against the Blackhawks the other night, down 2-0 in the first period. Apparently there were some fireworks in the dressing room. Between periods, some of the Leafs players stepped up and perhaps read some of the other ones the right act. And last night's sloppy effort, I would call it, more than anything, beating Detroit 5-4. But a victory is a victory, Naz. Not the way we'd like to see it. A lot of turnovers and giveaways, but it's a win. So we'll take it. Naz, your reaction to last night's game?
Well, they played Detroit, and Detroit was going on a back-to-back. So, Detroit looks pretty good. Good young team there. They're getting better and better. But the Leafs are not out of the woods yet, Walt.
No, certainly not. We're on a week by week basis. Lou, let's bring you into the show. Interesting week for the Leafs. We got a couple of W's, which was as we spoke last Sunday, we were somewhat concerned, but we got a couple of W's, not against the top echelon teams in the league. Certainly Chicago and Detroit are probably closer to the bottom of the pack than they are all to the top. Although, Detroit does seem to have some bright lights, some young players. But Lou, comment on the Leafs week and what's going on.
Well, you got to remember they did go into Carolina and lose that game. So let's bring them down to earth a little bit. Both their wins were sloppy, but they are wins, especially at this time of the year, where wins are going to be a little bit easier to get than later on in the year when teams are more accustomed to playing each other and they've all got their feet under them themselves. The two wins that they had were a little bit sloppy. Especially last night, the Red Wings, even though the Red Wings are a young team that's on the up and up, obviously the Chicago game, whatever was said in between periods, worked for them. Now we're going to find out what the real Leafs are all about, because they got three games coming home against Vegas on Tuesday night, Tampa Thursday, Saturday, Boston's in town. So we'll find out a little bit of where the Leafs stand after those three games, and we're going to get a good measuring tape on where this rest of the season is going to go.
Certainly, things get a little bit tougher for the Leafs this week, but they do get them all these games at home. As you said, Lou, Vegas, who aren't off to a great start either. But Tampa, defending Stanley Cup champion and arch nemesis Boston Bruins, we get them in a row this week. So the Leafs will get tested a little bit more and see where they may rank in the echelon of teams. So they're sort of feeling it out. We'll see what after 25 games. An adjustment, obviously, last year. We didn't get a real sense of where the Leafs fit in the pecking order of the NHL, having had a full diet of Canadian teams for the entire season. We're back to sort of a normal track this. So we're obviously, all of us here love to see the Leafs be successful. We'd love to attend the Stanley Cup parade, but a bit of a bigger test for the Leafs this week. Naz?
Look what happened Friday. Morgan Riley signed an 8-year contract, $7.5 million. Wonder where they're going to get that money from next year.
Well, I figured it out, Naz. They've got the money. It's just the issue is, and you know, I'll explain. And just to let our listeners know, coming up right after our first break, Carlo Koliakovo, co-host TSN's First Up Monday to Fridays, and in the second half of the hour, we've got Leo Routens, TSN basketball analyst. We'll talk all things basketball. The Raptors are off to an exciting start as well. They've got some. Fabulous young talent there. That's certainly exciting. But on the Morgan Riley, and we'll sort of finish off before we go to break, and we get Carlo back. We'll ask him his assessment. Let's go around the table. Naz, I think Riley. He fits in the cap right now. Not sure what they're paying him right now, but I think it's around $5 million, and they're bumping him up to what, Lou, 7.5 or over 8 years?
I didn't pass mathematics in school, so I don't know what the numbers are.
Anyways, they've got to find a little bit more money, but they don't have to find $7.5 million a year. They're currently paying him a good chunk of money. Well, if they lose Phil Kessel next year, and so they stop paying him, so $1.2 million comes into the mix. So you found probably half the money you need there. And they're banking on the salary cap going up about $2 to $3 million. So that's where I think the mathematics lies, Naz. I guess the issue is not so much, you know, you're still hamstrung with the big four, and now you put Riley into it. You're at about $48 million on an $81 million more or less, you know, payroll. You don't have a lot of money left for a lot of for other improvements that the team may need, and that's the issue. Is that a good use of the money given what you may have to do, you know, at the end of the season? Lou, Morgan Riley, good signing. Bad sign. Your thoughts?
No, I think it's just a questionable signing at this time of the year. I know there was rumors that he did take less money to stay with the Leafs, but then at the end of the day, the way he's played the last couple of years, he wanted to take as much money as he possibly can and get the term, knowing that he's gonna get a lot of security there. We don't know how long Muzzin's gonna be around because of his age. They just don't have any wiggle room right now to bring any other pieces in, unless they make deals that the other teams are going to absorb the person's contract that's coming in. And I think really they're gonna have to make a move up front. They're gonna have to deal somebody. I'm not sure if it's gonna be Kerfoot or Nylander at the end of the day. And maybe even a Mitch Marner, depending on what you get back. It's just gonna, the numbers just aren't gonna add up. And who knows? You know, everybody's talking about the salary cap going up, and it hasn't gone up in 3 years. So how do you know it's gonna go up that much more in the next year or two?
Well, I think they're banking on that. We've had 2 years of COVID, which has sort of held made the cap stay static. We'll certainly follow that as develops, but I think the move is predicated on them assuming the cap, aside from all the other intangibles. I mean, Riley's loves being a Maple Leaf. Apparently, in today's market, it's considered a good deal for the Leafs based on comparables. There's nobody of the analysts that we read on all the sports experts. None of them are suggesting that the Leafs have overpaid Riley. In fact, some are saying that's the market for a defenseman of Riley's stature. We can debate that. Riley does have some. He's got some holes in his game. Is he an upper echelon defenseman? But apparently in today's NHL, you don't have to be an upper echelon defenseman. You can be a number two to make $7.5 million a year. 8 years? We can debate that. No movement clause for 6 years? We can debate that. To a certain extent, I believe they're rewarding Morgan Riley for his leadership, for his loyalty. And they, I'm sure, have made the decision that he's leadership material and that's what he's worth, and they're going to pay him and keep him in Toronto. On that note, we'll go to break. Coming back from break, Carlo Kuliakovo.
It was a rainy day when Pizzaville declared,
"We'll never be the fastest! We'll never be the cheapest! We'll never be the snazziest dressed!"
What?
Yeah, my point is, we want to be the best!
At Pizzaville, we want to make the best pizza. Stone-baked, the traditional Italian way.
Pizzaville, stone-baked pizza. Fiercely Canadian. Authentically Italian.
You won't remember that Real Space Media was once Real Tours Media. What you'll never forget is how they helped you, the real estate agent, sell homes. Or you, the business owner, show off your four walls. Real Space Media has made a name for itself, creating virtual tours and walkthrough floor plans using 3D technology that's light years ahead. In the age of COVID, what better way to see a space safely than through the digital lens of, what were they called again? RealSpaceMedia.ca. Got a space to showcase? Check out Real Space.
This is Daryl Sittler for Alta Infinity and Vaughn. I've worked with some pretty great teams over the years, and the staff at Alta ranks among the very best. Expert sales, superior service, and the largest selection of Infinity cars and SUVs in Canada, and the most competitive pricing anywhere. It's no wonder that Alta has been an all-star performer for well over a decade. Visit AltaInfinityWoodbridge.com, or better yet, drop by the No. 7 Auto Mall at the corner of Martin Grove and Highway 7. Experience the difference that makes Alta Infinity the captain's choice.
Here's to every boy who thought his Bobby Orr rookie card sounded great in the spokes of his bicycle. His only served to make yours in mint condition more valuable. And now it's payday. Mint Inc. Trading Cards and Sports Merchandise wants to buy your vintage collection of hockey, baseball, basketball, football, and soccer heroes. Now's the time to cash in while the hobby reaches new heights. If you got them, we need them. Mint Inc. Trading Cards and Sports Merchandise. Visit our store online at mintink.ca.
Are they ever wrong about sports? I can answer that in two words. Impossible. The Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. We are live on 740 downtown Toronto, 96.7 FM. Live streaming on the internet, www.zoomerradio.ca. We're pleased to welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour, co-host of TSN's First Up, Monday to Friday, early in the morning, Carlo Kuliakovo. Carlo, how are you this morning?
Good morning, boys. Happy Sunday and happy Halloween.
Thank you so much.
Thanks. Got your Halloween costumes out this morning?
Yeah, well, got my Leaf jersey on. I don't know if that's a Halloween costume. I hope Leaf fans, don't take that the wrong way. But we'll put the Leaf jersey on. Go down and see my grandson this afternoon and see how he's all dressed up. Actually, it's first Halloween with my grandson. I'm really looking forward to it. And Carlo, I know you've got young kids, so I'm sure it's a thrill for you.
Oh, it absolutely is. I mean, especially when you get woken up at 7 a.m. and both kids are screaming, "Can we put my costume on? Can we put my costume on?" And I'm like, "It's 7 o'clock on Sunday. Relax." But obviously, they're ecstatic about it, and supposed to be a nice day today. Hopefully, the weather holds up, and the kids get to enjoy it because they missed out on it last year. So,
certainly hope so. Just so you're aware, Carlo, your good friend Lou Franceschetti's with us this morning. Of course, always my co-host.
What's up, man?
Always my co-host, Nance Marchese, as well. Carlo, we the three of us just had a discussion about the Morgan Rielly signing. And we'd absolutely love your thoughts on it. If you look at it, a lot of money, but in today's NHL, people are saying that's what he's worth. 8 years, that's point of debate. I think it's a six-year no movement. That's also point of debate. And at the end of this, contract, I think Morgan Rielly is going to be about 35, 36 years old. What are your thoughts, Carlo?
I like the deal. I really like the deal, and for a couple reasons. You know, when you look at the term of the deal, and you know, the eighth year always scares you. But you know, what doesn't worry me about Morgan Rielly is usually when guys get older, you worry about their foot speed. Well, I don't have that concern with Morgan Rielly. I think this guy is a natural skater. You know, he glides around the ice, and I don't think that that'll be an issue near the end of the deal. But you know, you look at what the premium is right now to just keep defensemen or sign them on the open market. And you've got to pay a pretty penny to do so. And I think the number that they locked in on Rielly is very favorable for the Maple Leafs, considering what he probably would have cost on the open market. And I think anything that he would have cost on the open market, I think the Maple Leafs, you know, would have easily walked away from. But I think 7.5 is a good number they can work with. It's $2.5 million more than what he's making, so they can find a way to fit that into their cap structure. And you know, it's Morgan Rielly. It's a guy who's been here his whole career. You know, he's been through the worst part of it, and now he's trying to get through the best parts of it. And you know, he's a big part of that. And when you look at this defense as a whole, you know, I think it's safe to say that Morgan Rielly is your number one defenseman, even though he's probably not your ideal number one defenseman because of what he lacks defensively. But considering the way the game is played right now, where you need guys that can skate and move the puck and be smart on the back end, you know, he exemplifies all that. So I really like the deal for Maple Leafs. And for the most, you know, the thing that stands out the most for me is, you know, of all the negotiations and the criticisms that, you know, we like to give the Maple Leafs from their previous signings, they actually, you know, fared well in this deal. They didn't have to overpay. They found a way to get a guy under market value, and a guy like Morgan Rielly, who's an important part to this team's success. So I like it.
Naz?
Are you surprised at Zach Hyman's start, Carlo?
Sorry, say that again?
Are you surprised at Zach Hyman's start?
I'm not. I mean, we all marveled at you know, how, you know, the intangibles that Zach Hyman brought to this group, you know, in the times that he was here, and even in the times when he wasn't in the lineup, because of, you know, the things, the positions you can put him in the lineup, where he's a guy that's very versatile, can play up and down your lineup, can fill important roles like the penalty kill and defensive roles when holding a lead and being very smart with the puck and winning those pucks to play with good players. You know, when he decided to leave the Maple Leafs, you couldn't have picked a better situation for him to walk into, playing alongside two of the best players in the world in McDavid and Dreisaitl. And, you know, you see the start that Edmonton got off to, and you see the slow start that the Maple Leafs got off, have gotten off to, and you kind of wonder, you know, whether or not that was a good move to let him walk. And, you know, when you talk about the Morgan Rielly deal, everything I know about the Zach Hyman deal was that there was a deal, a hometown discount deal there agreed upon with Zach Hyman, but it was the no move, no trade clause that the Maple Leafs weren't willing to give him. And I never understood that, considering how much, you know, how much value he brought to this team, how important he was to the success of guys like Matthews, Marner, Nylander, and Tavares. Because, you know, that's a position they're missing right now. And even just the way he plays and how hard he plays, and I think he's fitting in really nice in Edmonton, considering what they've lacked and what they've needed. And, you know, I think he's a big reason why they've gotten off to a really, really good start. Lou?
Carlo, how are you feeling today?
I'm feeling great, man. I mean, I always love Sundays during football season. So, you know, it's nice getting up early. The kids are excited for Halloween. I'm excited for the full slate of football and then go out trick-or-treating with my kids. And, you know, it's been a great couple of days for Toronto sports fans. I mean, look what the Raptors have been able to do, man. Are they exciting to watch? And you know, the Leafs are on a 2-game winning streak, so I don't have to wake up Monday morning with a headache and talk about the bad things that these Maple Leafs players have been doing. So it's a good day this morning. How about yourself, Lou?
Carlo, I'm talking about the ball hockey yesterday.
Wow. What an adventure that was.
Okay, guys, put us out of our misery. Tell all our listeners what you guys participating in the big ball hockey event, the Road to Conquer Cancer?
Yeah, so obviously every year the Road Hockey to Conquer Cancer is an amazing event that takes place, and they moved the venues this year. They was at the Vaughn Smart BMC Center, and you know, it was unfortunate that they couldn't find a way to do it last year, but I tell you what, man, considering the day that it was cold, it was rainy, it was muggy, it was really, really ugly. But I give everybody who participated in this so much credit for showing up and not making weather the excuse, because it was an unbelievable day. I was there. I was there for almost 4 or 5 hours. I didn't actually play, but I tell you what, I missed being out in the public and being out mingling with fans that actually care about the cause and care about contributing to the cause, because it's an unbelievable cause. I think, you know, almost everybody we know has been affected by cancer one way or another. It's personal to me with the struggles my son has gone through over the last couple of years, and he's doing really, really well, and he's got 6 months left of treatment. And it's because of events like that where people come out, they show out, they donate. I think there were close to $2 million raised yesterday that has allowed people to have hope when somebody in their family, you know, hears the word cancer. So congratulations to the event. Shout out to everybody that showed up. And even though it was cold when I came home, the hot chocolate felt good. You know, it's a nice feeling to be a part of, for sure.
Lou, did you get an opportunity to lace up the Nikes yesterday? Lou?
What's that?
Did you get an opportunity to lace up the Nikes yesterday?
I actually did, because my son was involved, and that's how I found out. Yeah. I'm the usual participant in this big tournament. But obviously this year, with certain people up top changing positions, I didn't get an invitation. Mind you, there was only probably half as amount of teams this year as there usually is. But I went out there and put them on with my son, and you know, it was a lot of fun. It always has been a lot of fun.
A ton of goals.
It's
roughing up people in the corner.
It's a great way of engaging with people.
Smashing, cross-checking, you know, what Lou's known for doing.
Well, you know what? This is the point in the show where Lou reminds us that he's actually in the Canadian Ball Hockey Hall of Fame. So
love
Lou,
it. Love it.
I would never do that. Okay, let's
I will do it on your behalf.
I want to make a comment here.
You were lucky enough to play your career at Dalton or wherever you were playing. You're lucky enough you never had to face me, because I would have shut you down. Okay?
You would have been hurting at the end of the day.
Love the trash talk.
We were pretty
close. I was known for my defensive prowess on the ball hockey rink. So, Lou, unfortunately, I never got the chance to lace them up against you. But maybe next year we'll head out there and I can shadow you for every shift that you're going. Make sure you don't touch the ball. Anyways, guys, Lou, Carlo, I want to take the opportunity of the other huge story this week in the NHL is an unfortunately tragic one. It's the Kyle Beach story. And I don't necessarily want to get into the details of it, and I don't want to play the role of sports journalist here. That's been done. You know, Rick Westwood over at TSN has done a phenomenal job digging up this story. There's nothing I can add to it, and I don't want to get into the details of it. But I do want to ask this question. Having two former players on the air, Carlo and Lou, as former players, you were, you know, Lou, you're in the era of the 80s, 90s. Carlo, in the next generation. As a former player, I'll give it to you, Carlo, and then to you, Lou. As a former player, how do you react to this story?
I am, to be honest with you, I'm disgusted by it. I've been disgusted by it since it came out, and reading all the details that have been released from it. I find it really, really hard to believe that an incident so serious and something that just is so disgusting when you read it just got brushed away. You know, and you know, you can say what you want about the time of the year and who was involved and who responsibility it was to take care of it. I mean, when you hear about the names that were involved in listening to what was done, I mean, was it really that hard for somebody to step up and say, hey, what happened here, and no, it doesn't matter what happened. It needs to be dealt with. Because what Kyle Beach had to sort of suffer through for 11 years, I mean, it's unfathomable. I feel bad for him. I feel bad for everybody involved. It's clearly, it's something that I can honestly say I'm lucky in my career. I've never had to be part of an incident like that. But I just know if I ever was, it wouldn't be hard for me to step up and say something and make sure something was done. And I just can't believe that those people involved didn't feel the same way. So I don't know how this plays out. Obviously, you're seeing the repercussions of people that were involved and decided to stay quiet about it. But you would hope that something like that never encounters a sports locker room or even just a life locker room ever again, because it was just heart-wrenching to see it, to hear what he went through, and just disgusting to see and to read about all the events that transpired.
Lou, you played in a different era in the 80s. We always talk about the NHL culture. We talk about the code. You know, in your day, right or wrong, it's easy to be critical now, but these things, I'm sure you never saw anything like that. As a player, how do you react to it? And how much of this is the NHL code, or, you know, where everybody keeps everything in the dressing room and they don't report it? Lou?
Well, I feel as bad or even worse than Carlo does, only because back then there was a lot of stuff going on, especially with rookies, what happened to rookies and them every year that they would come in. But at the end of the day, I feel disgusted for the National Hockey League. I feel disgusted for the Chicago Blackhawks and every other individual that's involved, because I think the National Hockey League should be a large blame for this, because they have not wanted to be in the public eye for any of this bad stuff, but they don't seem to open their eyes that stuff like this actually happens. And Bettman and Daly and everybody else involved with the NHLPA, the players on the Chicago hockey team that have said that they did not know about it until either recently or even the training camp, because of the homophobic slurs that were given to him during training camp of the following year. And the price that the Chicago Blackhawks put at winning a Stanley Cup over an individual's life at the age of 20, a superstar in the becoming, a first-round pick, and they put Kyle Beach in this position and shoving everything under the carpet. I think all three parties, and especially at the top, should be to blame for what he's gone through, and obviously the repercussions from it.
Certainly, Lou. This story is not going away. There's going to be a lot more repercussions to some people here, and accountability hopefully will be allocated in due course. It already has. Some careers have been ruined, and from what I can tell, based on what I've read, justifiably so. I couldn't agree with you two guys more. There's no daylight in our thought on this. And I guess probably there's one gentleman perhaps said it better than anybody was John Tortorella. And when you read a story like this and you saw Kyle Beach, and I watched the Rick Westwood interview. To our listeners, if you have an opportunity, go watch it. Go watch this young man, Kyle Beach, the courage that he is now showing. And the emotion that he shows in this is pretty compelling, and accountability certainly is necessary. And John Tortorella perhaps said it better. You drew this to my attention yesterday, Lou, said it better than anybody. When you watch Kyle Beach, just imagine that that's your son, because he is somebody's son. He has a mother, he has a father. And if that was your son in that position, how would you feel? And he got let down by so many different people here. On that note, Naz, I want to turn it over to you. Any last thoughts on this, and any comments for Carlo?
Yeah, this is a very difficult time for sure for these people, and I feel sorry for them, really. This came out in June, but it wasn't confirmed until the last week. Mm-hmm. Why is that?
Well, I think there's legal reasons to that, Naz. The story was investigated. It was investigated as what they call a John Doe, which is when you have a sexual assault, you can't reveal the name of the victim. But Kyle Beach decided to go public with it this week, and because he said he wanted to make sure that this never happened again, and he wanted, I guess, it's accountability for those involved. So the reason we haven't known it was Kyle Beach, it's always been dealt in the legal system they call a John Doe, because they're not legally allowed to reveal the name of the victim. Kyle Beach courageously this week went on the record and said it was him.
And you talk about like the timing of him too. Like, he's still playing, right? So he's still facing it head on. Coming out and sharing to the public who it was. And I give him a lot of credit for that, because, you know, mostly in instances like this, people want to hide from it when the truth comes out. Well, you know, I think he's sick of hiding from it for over 11 years, and the emotional support and even just the world support that he's getting is unbelievable and rightly deserved. So I give him a lot of credit. I can't imagine how tough that would have been. And obviously he gets my support too, and as he should, because, something as disturbing as what he admitted to, to stay, so quiet and have nobody help him, get through it, or even just, provide the proper therapy that he would need. Thankfully there's great people in this world, and I'm lucky that he's a colleague of mine in Rick Westhead. That was able to help him, get to the truth and, allow the people that were a part of this that didn't do anything about it to pay the price for it.
Certainly Rick Westhead. I think I may have called him Westwood before. I apologize.
Yeah,
it is,
everybody
it is Rick Westhead. We actually had him on the show. We actually had Rick on the show a couple of years back. So phenomenal job by him. Nez, we only got a few minutes left with Carlo. We'd be remiss. I'm going to turn it over to you. Bills Mafia is on a high. We didn't get the win we would have liked against the Titans, but we're back at it against the Dolphins today. Bills are on the road to the Super Bowl March. I'll turn it over to you, Naz, and let's get Carlo involved as part of the Bills Mafia.
It's another romp today for the Bills. They have Miami's number, for sure.
Yeah, hey, that's that old saying, squish the fish, right?
And they
used to be rivals back in the day. Look, I think I share your sentiment. It was a really tough loss against Tennessee, but, I still support the decision that they made to go for it on 4th-and-1, because you're giving yourself a chance to win that game. Obviously, they got an unlucky break with Josh Allen slipping there, but they've had a full 2 weeks to think about it and to get themselves ready to unleash the fury on the Dolphins. And I feel really good about their result today. And just looking at their schedule for the rest of the season, it looks very favorable for the Bills to really run the table here. Late in the year, they go head on against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and that'll be a good matchup for them to see where they stand heading into the playoffs. But regardless of what their record is right now, I expect them to finish at the top of the AFC, just because, I think they're the best team in the NFL, because they can play with you offensively, but their defense can stop the best offenses too. So as long as they can stay healthy, should be a good year for the Bills Mafia.
Yeah, it's so important to get home field advantage throughout the whole playoff run, and it's so important to have that AFC championship game down at Orchard Park. And I think you look back through history, and how often is it always the home team that's in the AFC or the NFC championship game that goes on to the Super Bowl? More often than not.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I think you can even go back to last year. If the Bills would have hosted the Kansas City Chiefs in that AFC championship game, I think the result would have been different. But, Josh Allen, in a year where he didn't play in front of much fans, walks into Arrowhead with a full building, and I think the moment caught up to him. You can see the jitters, but definitely a learning experience. Kansas City's going through their struggles this year. I mean, just look at the AFC as a whole. There's a lot of good teams that are making a push. I mean, you're talking about the Bills, the Ravens, the Cincinnati Bengals, the Cleveland Browns, the Tennessee Titans. Then you go to the West, and it's the Raiders, the Chargers, and the Chiefs. Like, it's up for grabs if the Bills really want to take a hold of this and make home field advantage or priority. It's there for them if they want it. I think they control their own fate, especially with how favorable their schedule is. And, you know, I would hate to be any team walking into Trimark Stadium where the Bills Mafia are there, you know, sounding like 100,000 fans in the stadium. It would definitely play a huge advantage for the Bills. So, excited for football today. Excited for football for the rest of the season, and excited to see what comes for the Maple Leafs and the Raptors this week as well.
Carlo Koliakou, we're going to let you go. We're going to thank you. We're going to wish
you. My pleasure, guys.
We're going to have a great time. Have a great time today with your kids in Halloween. Thanks so much
for joining
us. I really
appreciate it. And I think my schedule for the rest of the season on Sunday morning is pretty open because golf season is about to end.
Whenever we invite Carlo on the show, it's that we compete with his Sunday morning golf. I'm always looking for the weather reports for Sunday on Thursday mornings, Carlo. And anyways, we thank you.
My
so much
pleasure,
for joining guys. Us.
Have a great
appreciate
day.
It.
Have a great week. Talk
Carlo,
to you soon.
Carlo Koliakou, you can listen to him every morning on TSN on First Stop. Anyways, we've got to go to break. We'll be right back. We'll talk some basketball, but with who else but Mr. Basketball Canada, Leo Routens.
It was a rainy day in Pizzaville when we realised that our extra-large pizza is 2 whole inches longer than the so-called extra-large from the big pizza conglomerates. How do they even call theirs extra large when Pizzaville gives you 18 whopping inches, steaming hot? Because, let's be honest, who wouldn't want 2 more inches?
Pizzaville, stone-baked pizza. Fiercely Canadian. Authentically Italian.
Here's to every boy who thought his Bobby Orr rookie card sounded great in the spokes of his bicycle. Is only served to make yours in mint condition more valuable. And now it's payday. Mint Inc. Trading Cards and Sports Merchandise wants to buy your vintage collection of hockey, baseball, basketball, football, and soccer heroes. Now's the time to cash in while the hobby reaches new heights. If you got them, we need them. Mint Inc. Trading Cards and Sports Merchandise. Visit our store online at mintink.ca.
There's an old saying, entrepreneurship doesn't build character, it reveals character. Entrepreneurs learn to trust a person by trusting people. The law firm Rigabon Carly understands this. They know all about entrepreneurs because they work for them. Every day, they've earned their trust. They know that when it comes to meeting the legal and business needs of entrepreneurs, good enough is not enough. Rigabon Carly, the intelligent choice.
You won't remember that Real Space Media was once Real Tours Media. What you'll never forget is how they helped you, the real estate agent, sell homes. Or you, the business owner, show off your four walls. Real Space Media has made a name for itself, creating virtual tours and walkthrough floor plans using 3D technology that's light years ahead. In the age of COVID, what better way to see a space safely than through the digital lens of, what were they called again? RealSpaceMedia.ca. Got a space to showcase? Check out Real Space.
Last minute of play in the game.
Unlike sports, the outcome of palliative care isn't determined in the dying seconds. Physically, socially, and spiritually, palliative care is giving someone the best quality of life for however long life remains, while supporting their loved ones. All services are free of charge with partial government funding. The need for palliative care is great. Making an impact is the newly opened Hospice Vaughan Mario and Nick Cordellucci Hospice Palliative Care Center of Excellence. A truly amazing 10-bed residence. The first palliative care hub in Vaughan. If you share the belief that everyone deserves to live until they die, get involved. Volunteer your time or donate to hospicevaughan.com. We are for community, by community. And together, we are here to serve.
Opinions expressed on the Naz and Wally Sports Hour are those of Naz and Wally and their guests.
They never argue sports. They just explain while they're always correct. The boys are back. The Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. I'm your host, Walter Rigabon. Joining me as usual, my co-host, Naz Marchese, also joining us this morning, Leapin' Lou Franceschetti, and we're pleased to welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. I will call him Mr. Basketball Canada, Leo Routens. Good morning, Leo. How are you this morning?
Good morning. I'm great. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great. Thanks so much for joining us, Leo. Last night was a busy night in the world of sports. The Raptors, 2 weeks in a row, have had games on Saturday nights. Makes it difficult with the Leafs, with college football, and with the World Series going on. But I actually got an opportunity to watch the last 5 to 8 minutes of the Raptors game last night and watch the game against the Magic on Friday night. This is a pretty exciting young Raptors team we're watching, Leo. Scottie Barnes is athleticism personified. You've got, I call him Mr. Precious, Ochoa, Delano Benton, Cam Birch played great last night. You've got an exciting team to watch here, Leo. Your impressions of the team so far this year?
No, I think it's that's exactly it. It's a fun team. It's a exciting team. It's an intriguing team. You know, there's a tremendous amount of potential here that we're not going to see for a bit. You know, where Pascal, when he comes back, the level he's going to be at, where can he get to? You know, Fred continues to rise. OG, is he going to continue to rise? You got the young guys like Banton and Barnes, you know, what's their ceiling this season? Their learning curve. And you go through the roster, you can talk about every guy. And to me, it could be a special season. It could be a unique season. It could be a surprising season. Yet at the same time, with all these variables and all these, you know, hopes, it could easily turn and go in a different direction. So it's going to be a balancing act, and it's going to be interesting. And I think that's what's going to make it so much fun for the fans, because you know every game matters. Every game is going to be something different. And every game, these guys got to get out there and outwork their opponent and find a way to do it. And continue to blend and grow together. So I think it's just going to be a lot of fun to watch this team. I really do.
It certainly has been so far. Naz?
Next up are the New York Knicks. Are they for real or not?
You know, the Knicks are honestly no different than last year, you know, with just a little bit more experience. They still have a lot of holes, but, you know, they got a tremendous coach in Tom Thibodeau. You know, Canadian RJ Barrett is really, really growing into a solid, solid NBA player. And you know, like I said, they got some good pieces. But, you know, last year this team made the playoffs. You know, I think everybody, especially, I mean, it's good for basketball to have a good team in New York, a playoff team. And obviously the people in New York are excited about the team and maybe a little bit too excited. Like I said, it's a decent team. They hang their hat on defense, which is going to, you know, keep you in games and give you a chance to win. But, again, they're just not that much different than last year's team. And maybe not quite as good, again, other than the development and experience of, say, an R.J. Barrett. So I'm not overly over the top on them at this point.
Lou.
Morning, Leo.
Morning.
I was watching the game Friday night against the Magic, and this kid Barnes still impresses me. I didn't think he was going to get drafted by the Raptors number four, but just his overall calmness is unbelievable for a kid that's probably 19 or 20. And the trade that they made for Gary Trent last year, sending Norman Powell out to Portland. It seems like Nick Nurse has got the kind of team here, that a bunch of young guys that are going to buy into defense first, because they've always had a hard-working defensive ball club. When's their offense more or less going to kick into action?
Well, their offense is going to really depend on their defense, right? So they want to try to create as much as they can using their length and quickness. Be disruptive as much as possible. You have to really rebound as a team. Everybody's got to be part of the equation rebounding. Otherwise, your defense, you know, really doesn't matter, because you got to be able to finish those defensive possessions. But, you know, if they do all that, then that's going to generate points. It's going to generate offense. And that's really what their goal is. They're, at least at this stage, they're not a team that can grind it out in the half court. That's where they would struggle. That's where youth and experience and chemistry all kind of come into play. So the more they can run, the faster the game they can play, the more energy they can expend out there defensively, the better their offense is going to be. But, you know, once they get Pascal back and again, continue to find and grow as a team, find their rhythm, they're going to be able to handle the half court settings much more. But, you know, like you said, this is a team that with Nick Nurse, as much fun offensively as they like to have and as much freedom as there is, it's all defense. Nick Nurse, wants everything predicated on getting out there and playing great defense. And, you know, they do all kinds of different things. They play out of the box. They're not afraid to get into junk defenses and so forth. So, you got to buy in, or you're not going to get the minutes to do anything offensively. And I think that's a great way to coach this group.
Leo, as you said, Pascal Siakam's out, so the team can only get better as he comes back in. A lot of young talent with a lot of energy. Great win last night against Indiana. Indiana's not one of the high-level teams in the league, but it's on the road. It's a back-to-back. You're a young team. They held up. Same thing against the Magic. Where do you going into this season? It would have been difficult to predict where the Raptors are going to, whether they'd be a playoff team or not, where they'd fit in their division, their conference. Where do you see the Raptors landing at the end of the season here?
Well, like I said, there's so many variables, right? So, you know, you got all these people speculating right now after five games in a season, and it's, you know, I'm not going there. I mean, I think. You know, you've got teams right now that everybody's like, people going to the Knicks. I mean, yeah, they're going to the finals. No, they're not going to the finals. Calm down. You know, you got Chicago out there, great start. They're going to win it all. No, they're not going to win it all. So everybody's just, or, you know, some teams, you know, the Nets are struggling. They're done. They won't make the play. No, that's not going to happen either. So everybody's just kind of got to calm down, let things play out. You got to remember, you know, once you get in December, then contracts can start to be traded. Changes can be made. The landscape can change dramatically. No one really knows what's happening with, you know, Kyrie Irving and Ben Simmons. You know, that could change a lot if they get moved or whatever happens with them. So there's all kinds of variables right now. And I just think that the Raptors, if they show the growth, their potential is really good. All the things I mentioned earlier, if they come to fruition. This is a team that in the Eastern Conference, yeah, they could be a playoff team. And you got to remember, that's pretty impressive because, you know, they're in a bit of a rebuild, right? You only have four guys on this roster that were there the last time they played in Scotiabank Arena, which was, you know, just over 600 days ago. So this is a very different looking team, and it's really built for going forward in the future. And obviously there's going to be more additions and tweaks. So I think potentially they could be a playoff team. But, again, there's so many variables right now, and that's why I think you just got to let it play out, see the growth, see the maturity, see the development, and then you'll be able to have a better grasp on it once we head into the second half of the season.
Naz, last question for Leo, and then we'll let him go.
Zion Williams, very disappointing so far. What does he have to do to get back into the game?
Who's that? I'm sorry, I didn't hear the first part.
Zion Williams, very disappointing so far.
Well, he's been hurt, right? He's, you know, here's a guy that, you know, he's a big fella. He's had his history of injuries and issues, and he had an off-season surgery, which kind of surprised his own team. And, you know, he's just, you know, who knows? Who knows his time schedule? Who knows his... you know, his status. I don't even know if the Pelicans know his status because of the way he's handled things in the offseason. So, you know, there was a lot of risk taking him. You know, it's one of those buyer beware. Now I think New Orleans, there was a lot of pressure to take him. He was a consensus, like, popularity winner there. But, you know, like I said, he was a dangerous pick, and it's kind of playing out that way.
We've been talking to Leo Routens. Leo, thanks so much for joining us. I know there's been certain upheavals in your career in the last little while, but you're standing, you're on your feet, and we can still watch you, and we can still share your passion and intensity and your knowledge of basketball, and we're thrilled about that. Leo, thanks so much for joining us.
I appreciate that. Have a great day.
Thanks so much, Leo Routens. Naz, we've got a few minutes left. I'm surprised that you haven't started the rumor mill. Who's going to fill that Florida coaching position? I would have thought, Naz, you would have started the rumor that perhaps Mike Babcock's going to end up the coach there. Naz?
No, I don't think so. I think it's going to be Tortorella.
You think Torts is going to end up there?
Yeah, that's what I hear. That's what I've heard.
Interesting fit. Lou, any thoughts? The Florida Panthers are being touted as a legitimate Stanley Cup contender. They've got off to a incredibly fast start. I think they lost to the Bruins yesterday. But they're basically 8-0, one loss. Do they stick with their assistant coach who's been, I think, is it Andrew Burnett? I'm not sure. Help me out, Lou. Or do they...
You know what? Those are two extreme picks. I think they're going to take their time and do their diligence and stay with Andrew Burnett for now. And I really don't know if you want to more or less play with that dressing room with those two personalities, especially Tortorella. As good as a coach as he is, you know, there's certain fits that just don't fit into his style. So right now, I'm just going to stick with Andrew Burnett and see how that goes for the next couple of weeks.
Naz, does Mike Babcock, is he a contender to fill any coaching position once teams start letting coaches go?
Sure doesn't look like it. It seems to me like he's been blackballed from the coaching ranks, so... I'm not, but he's still collecting 3 years of his contract, which is $5.4 million. I said it as a joke the other day that the Leafs are looking for a coach. They're already paying one. Why don't you bring him back?
You're very careful what you post, as a lot of people get upset when we start already talking about the coaching change at the with the Toronto Maple Leafs. I think it's probably a bit early for that. I don't think Sheldon keeps going anywhere. He's the coach till the end of the season this year. We'll see what happens, and if the Leafs make the playoffs and they go, they do a little bit of a run, then everybody will be happy. If they don't make the playoffs, then all bets are off. There's going to be a lot of people who are going to be, going to be in the hot seat, including those above Sheldon Keefe as well. So we're going to keep the faith. We're eight games in. Big week this week. We'll see how they play out. I really want to see before I make my bets on this Leaf team, I really want to see how they play against some of what I call the upper echelon teams. And they're gonna get a dose of some of them this week.
Well, what's so surprising is Calgary, how they're playing with Sutter behind the bench. They look awesome. Awesome
and that's great. And I think, Joe Bowen made a great comment last week. Guys, let's not get excited when we're 5, 6, 8 games into a season. I mean, there's been a lot of teams. If I'm not mistaken, the Montreal Canadiens a few years back, started off 10-0 or something, and then they fell back into the pack. Leafs did the same thing a few years back, if I recall correctly. They were going gangbusters till the end of November, and then I think they went .500 the rest of the year. So there are, teams do, for lack of a better term, sometimes overachieve early in the season, and they come back to the pack. Some teams start really slowly, and then they rise to the top. We're going to see where the Leafs fit in. Lou?
You couldn't have said it any better. It's going to be an 80-game schedule, and the Leafs aren't going to be measured by what they do over the 82-game schedule. They're going to be measured with what to do in the playoffs, and we'll see what this team is really made of for now going forward.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, the question came up, are the Leafs an upper echelon team in the NHL? Are they a top team in the NHL? I can't answer that just yet.
Not right now.
We'll ask that, come January, February, we'll have a look at it. Anyways, guys, it's 10 o'clock. Luke, thanks for joining us. Naz, always a pleasure doing this with you. Owen, our new producer, great job. Welcome on board. We'll be back again next Sunday morning. Have a safe and fantastic week. Thanks for joining us.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.